Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Training Camp 2020, Locked and Loaded, is presented by Mountain High Appliance. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Pedro Gomez from ESPN is our baseball insider. He's presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino, and he joins us now. Pedro, good morning.
Hey, guys.
Pedro,
wow, what a difference a few weeks made.
Yeah, how about it? And how about Charlie Blackmon? I want to start there. Hitting 500 right now. I'm suggesting, and I don't know if you can do this in Major League Baseball, you would know more than I, but because he is putting up, as Mike said, softball league numbers, I think we should put a pony keg in the dugout. Every time he comes in, he has to swill a bitter. I mean, it is not fair what he's doing. Can you put any context into what Charlie is doing right now?
You know, baseball players often talk about when they're riding the wave, all they want to do is stay on that surfboard as long as possible because they know at some point they will fall off the wave. And normally the wave never lasts this long. What Charlie is doing is it's beyond comprehension right now. You know, yesterday during the pregame Zoom call, I actually asked Bud Black, one of my questions was, look, when you pitched back in the day, what would you do when you were facing an Eddie Murray or a Kirk Gibson or a Jim Rice when they were just on a torrid streak? He said, there are times where the only times that you can, the only thing you can do is go down and away and hope that, you know, he swings and makes an out. But Black even said, he goes, but there are times when a hitter is just so locked in that no matter what, even if he makes a bad swing, puts a bad piece of hitting together, the ball is still going to fall for him. And that truly is what's happening to Charlie. Look, he slugged one off the deep. Sorry, guys. I had to get a little water.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. I'm good.
You okay?
Deep center field. Yeah. He slugged one off the deep center field part of the wall, but then, you know, he flared one earlier in the game, and it's just, it is true right now, no matter what Blackmon does, it looks like it's going to be a positive result for him. And there's just times when everyone on the field knows it, including the opposing pitcher, because let's face it, during the pregame meetings, they're saying, look, this guy's on fire. We've got to be very careful to this guy. They're being careful, and it still doesn't matter.
Well, let's take another sip of water as I ask you this question. Pedro Gomez joining us. Pedro, is there anything that Charlie can do? What kind of number would he have to put up that even the most cynical of old school baseball people would have to say, man, that's the kind of year that even in 60 games, we don't put an asterisk beside it.
Well, I think no matter what, anybody hit 400 this year, there will be an asterisk because it won't be the 500 plate appearances that the full season would require. So, look, if he hits 500, it truly would be something where everyone would take pause and just put it on a pedestal, so to speak, but without it being a full 500 plate appearances, which is the prerequisite. I think it's 501, which is the prerequisite. It would fall short on that scale, but you would have to just tip your cap. And there will be an MVP this year, and that MVP award will not have an asterisk by it. So, you know, Charlie Blackmon gets an MVP at this age. That would be special.
Let's talk about the Rockies in general because their starting pitching has been unbelievable. I mentioned earlier that Freeland has eliminated the noise from his mechanics, and he looks like the 2018 Freeland. He's been great. What have you seen with the starting pitching, in particular Freeland and Marquez, and what they're doing right now?
No doubt about it. You know, Sensatella's had some good outings. Herman Marquez still is a very, very good, you know, high quality pitcher, They're getting great outings, but you're right about Freeland. This is what, a year ago when we were doing this show, remember I picked the Rockies to win the National League last year, and the second half of the season, that looked like a ridiculous pitch because the entire season just was circling the drain for 2.5 months after the All-Star break. But, Freeland, we all thought was going to just continue to build on what he had done the previous year in 2018 and become an elite level pitcher. It didn't happen. And Daniel, you and I both know this, and I've talked to so many front office people and scouts whose opinion I trust. Sometimes with left-handers, for whatever reason, it just takes a little longer to develop. And I think that's what we're seeing with Freeland, that yes, he took a step backwards last year, no doubt about it. But to see what he's doing this year, this is what everyone in baseball thought he was going to be able to build on in 2019, coming off that great 2018 season. It didn't happen, but it's not that surprising that sometimes a lefty will take a step backwards for whatever reason.
Pedro Gomez, our guest. Pedro, let me just ask you an overall baseball question. With some of the disparity of games being played up until this point by teams, I mean, the Cardinals have only played 5 games.
Yep.
Have you gotten any sense from talking to people in baseball what they're going to do to make up that disparity? Or will they just, hey, they're just going to power through. And if some team ends up playing, 10 or 15 games less, they'll figure something out.
Well, they're going to have to figure something out because there's no way at this stage that the Cardinals will be able to come even remotely close to playing 60 games. I think they would have to play 55 games in a 44-day span, which would require 10 or 11 doubleheaders. That's not going to happen. If they can come close, reasonably close, they'll just go by winning percentage. But if it's not reasonably close, baseball could have a very big headache on their hands in terms of determining postseason clubs. And that definitely could present a huge, huge issue for the game late in the season. But I think they're going to wait and see what happens here for the next few weeks to see if the Cardinals can start playing some games, start making up some games with doubleheaders, and just put them in a position where they're going to have to travel more than any other club to make up some of these games with off days and things like that. But they're right now they're just on hold to see if the Cardinals can start playing games.
All right, Pedro, man. Hey, you're the best, buddy. We really appreciate you. Thanks so much for popping on the program.
Hey, man. Glad to be back with you guys. I'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Sounds good. There he is, Pedro Gomez.
Dealing with a little bit of a dry throat there.
I think he was.
Sorry, guys.
I think
had to get a little water.
Yeah, I think he was emotional. That's a great. Let me hear that again. I'm sorry.
Sorry, guys. Had to get a little water.
Oh, yeah. Benny. He's got another one.
Oh, my gosh.
He's got another one.
The kid just can't.
Benny the Kid.
I mean, he's going to go from Millennial Ben just to Benny the Kid.
By the way, Millennial Ben now writing a blog.
What?
At 1043thefan.com. He's now a blogger.
He's a blogger?
He's now a blogger. Millennial Ben. Check it out at 1043thefan.com.
Right. Who's editing his stuff? Because Pedro. He gets a little bit, he can get triggered pretty quickly.
He can. Pedro Gomez presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino. Why the Broncos running back situation is an absolute no-lose, no-brainer, win-win. Explain next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. People care about 3 things when buying a vehicle. Number 1, price. Silta Har Motors has the best prices and financing options that fit everyone's current credit and financial situation. Get 0 down and 0% financing for 72 months. Number 2, selection. Silta Har's 5 dealers in one offering Ford, Lincoln, Mazda, Volvo, and Maserati with hundreds of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot. And number 3, location. Silta Har's right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, or view their entire selection online at sthmotors.com. Silta Har Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Sorry, guys. Had to get a little water.
Pedro Gomez.
Playing hurt right there.
Playing hurt right there. I was worried there for a second. I was like,
I know.
We need to get some medical assistance to Pedro.
Yeah.
He was okay.
You're going to have one of them life alert buttons you push.
That's right.
That maybe he fell down and broke his hip.
Right.
keep her composure.
But he powered through, though. He powered through.
Yeah, yeah. He powered through. So he's good to go. Thanks to Pedro Gomez.
Philip Lindsay talking yesterday about the on-field dynamic between him and Melvin Gordon.
You know, I wish I could let you know and tell you now. You know, I don't know. At the end of the day, that's not my job to sit there and put me or Melvin in the game. You know, that's their job. You know, if they don't want to have one of their game changer playmakers in the game, that's on them. You know, I don't get paid to sit there and you know, call the plays and stuff. That's not my job. My job is when I get the ball or when I'm in the game to make an explosive play. And that's how I think about it.
You know how the other day we were talking about how some athletes will invent a chip?
There, yeah.
Invent a slight?
Yeah.
That we all sit back and roll our eyes and are like, come on, man, really? Man, this guy, it oozes out of this guy.
There is no invention of said chip. He is irritated. And it's not my job to put me in the game. You don't want to have one of your playmakers in the game. That's on you. I don't call the plays. Let me tell you this now. All right, so just take this for what it's worth, and maybe it's not worth anything. Maybe it's not. Don't ask Philip Lindsay to take a home down discount next year. Because I look at this situation as I am looking to leave. I'm going to go out, ball out of control, and see if I can't get gone.
You think he's determined to leave? See, this is a guy that I think desperately wants to make it work here.
Oh, I think I think you want to make it work anywhere. But I just feel.
Although I think he's got the kind of belief in himself that he believes he can make it anywhere. But I think he wants to make it here. I don't think he's hell bent on getting out of here.
Oh, no. I disagree with that. I disagree with that because I look at those comments or I listen to those comments. And that is a direct shot across the bow of the organization for what you did and the fact that he feels slighted. There is no question. You don't feel like my production is real. You don't feel like I can be a full-time player. It's not my job. If you want one of your playmakers out of the game, come on now. That's not a guy that's looking to give a hometown. That's a guy that's looking to hit free agency and seeing what he can get. Who values me? Because certainly, based on your actions, you guys don't value me. I'm just telling you from my perspective as a former player. What you're saying to me right now, when you take a guy in free agency and pay him, what, $8 million a year more than me?
Yeah.
Right?
It's not even close.
Yeah. You're basically saying, hey, Philip, we don't believe. Hey, you're a nice player. You're a nice piece.
Good compliment.
Yeah. You're not
good
the
complimentary
piece.
Complimentary player, yeah.
Yeah. You're not the piece. You're a nice piece. And I'm telling you, as a player, like he's got that chip on his shoulder. Don't come to, like, I'd be like, hey, don't walk up on me in week 12 and say, hey, we'd like to redo your contract. You've really earned it. Like, that's my perspective, or that's my take on where Phillip's mindset is right now. And you can hear the vitriol. I mean, and good for him. You should feel that way. Based upon what you did, based upon the fact that you were a free agent, based upon the fact that you outproduced everybody on the roster and major, based upon the fact that they picked a guy in the third round to supplant everybody and you usurped him and they still said, yeah, but we're still not sure. We're going to go with Melvin Gordon.
Now let's step back and look at big picture. Big picture, if you're a Bronco fan, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Because you have two guys who I believe will be very hungry. All right. Lindsay, we already know. But look at this from Melvin Gordon's standpoint. Yeah, you got paid, but there's no reason for you to feel satisfied because you are only working on a 2-year deal. You saw what happened in Chargerland. You got supplanted by Austin Eckler. So you know that the underdog can rise up and take your job. He knows from going up against the Broncos,
twice a year for the last 2 years. He knows what Lindsay's all about. And all he has to do is be in the building around Lindsay to know what Lindsay's all about. So he's going to be pushed by Lindsay. And I think that makes Gordon a better player. So the idea that you have two guys who are hungry, one who's insatiably hungry in Lindsay, great. For an offense that figures to struggle early on, knowing that in the early going, you can really ride these two. And it's not like either one needs a whole lot of, work and prep and time to gel and all that stuff. Ride these two. Ride these two early.
I'm 100% with you. I think it's a great situation to have. What did you make of Philip Lindsay saying basically the offense to him is essentially the same? There's only so many runs you've got. There's only so many passes you have. Only so many protections
you have.
You've
said this a million times.
Right.
Everyone's running the same stuff.
Yeah. It's just nuanced, right?
Right.
So but what does that do for you? What does it do for you, though, when I say there's a lack of continuity, there's a lack of, do you look at that and say, well, maybe it's not as big as...
No,
as,
but there is nuance.
Right.
There is nuance. I mean, if you've come from a place where this play was called zebra, and you're going to another place and it's, elephant, I mean, it's a new term. You just don't...
I don't think
you don't
you would
react naturally.
Right. I don't think you would go from zebra to elephant.
Why
because
not?
They're just not in the same genus.
Genus?
Yeah. Wouldn't you go from like zebra to, I don't know, what's more in the zebra family?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Donkey. Gnu. One of them.
You just pulled out genius and gnu.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, not
somebody.
Element.
Somebody's been hanging out with the Huff at the zoo. All right, coming up next, four down territory. What do the crazy moves going on in college football, how does it impact the NFL? That's next.
I want Mason Glory help.
This is four down territory.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Pound it, launch it, and bring the funk.
Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
I want to kiss you.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. You just don't flop it out there and expect to perform like that.
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan. First down.
Here's what I know about guys like this. They're very hard to keep off the field. Very, very hard. You cannot replicate experience like that. And Elijah Wilkinson's got a little bit of experience, but not that kind of starting experience. Elijah might be the plan right now, but a guy with experience like that, it's hard to keep off the field because coaches, they want that kind of experience.
There he is.
Yep.
Grizzly Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
Says that DeMar Dotson, who the Broncos agreed to terms with yesterday, will end up being the starter. Do you agree?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
From the jump?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It'll be the day one, night one starter.
I believe so.
Okay.
I mean, one, Mike, what is this league really all about? Pass protection, right? In that, when you boil it down.
Yes. It's a passing
league. I talked to a kid that plays at BYU just two nights ago. And I said, ultimately, it comes down to this. If you're an efficient pass protector, you're going to have a chance to make it in this league. If you're not, you won't. That's really what it boils down to. DeMar Dotson, although he's lost his ability to, bend to a degree and really come off the ball and be an effective run blocker, DeMar Dotson's still a very good pass protector. And he's, in my mind, he's a better pass protector. He's a more fluid, smoother pass protector, has a better understanding than that of Elijah Wilkinson. So, especially in an offense where you want to go three wides and do some more spread, do I think he starts day one? Hell yeah, I think he starts day one.
Next in four down territory.
Second down.
I feel like this offense for me, it's kind of the same. For me, like, at the end of the day, there's only so many runs and passes you can do. It's about execute. It's about being patient. It's about developing a relationship with your lineman. So, for me, I mean, I don't worry about that. I know what I'm going to do. I know... I'm going to have explosive plays because that's just who I am.
That's Philip Lindsay. Whether it's Melvin Gordon gets a series, two series, and Philip Lindsay gets one, that's kind of the rotation. Or the whole idea of, hey, if you're putting Melvin Gordon out there and not me, you're leaving a playmaker on the bench. What about the possibility, Mark, of the two of them playing together? Can you use the two of them in a creative way to make sure you have both on the field?
Well, certainly. I mean, certainly.
How would that look?
Well, I mean, you'd have two backs. And in my mind, you'd probably have one guy in Phillip Lindsay motioning out of the backfield. A part of that is to determine, hey, are you guys in zone? Are you guys in man? We're going to put Phillip Lindsay outside the numbers or in the slot. See who goes with them. See how they react as a defense. Yeah, so that's a very viable. I mean, that's a very viable option, and that could be a very big thing. But, you know, again, you have to also understand how the team is built, right? I mean, they've got Courtland Sutton. They've got Jerry Jeudy. They invested in K.J. Hamler. Like, I mean, all right, if you're going to go two backs, they've got Noah Fant, first rounder. If you're going to go two backs, who are you going to take out? You only got five eligible receivers, right?
I know, but when we did our fan film room breakdown of Melvin Gordon, what stood out to me was how many different ways he lined up with the Chargers.
Sure.
And you can really line him up anywhere on the field.
Yeah.
So, to me, use him that way. Lindsay's in the backfield, and there you go. You got two dynamic playmakers on the field together.
Who are you taking off? Well, KJ Hamler?
Yeah, I mean,
taking off Jerry Jeudy?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Noah Fant?
Well, until I see proof that Jeudy, and especially Hamler, until I see proof that Hamler can make a big-time, consistent impact on this offense, you're asking me, who would I rather have on the field?
Yeah.
A combination of two. Out of KJ Hamler, Phillip Lindsay, and Melvin Gordon? Duh. Give me as much Lindsay and Gordon as I possibly can get.
Okay, if it's Lindsay and Gordon and you're okay, I mean, which is fine. So then, yeah, I mean, you take off Hamler, or if you want to have three wides, you can take off a tight end. I mean, ultimately, you've got to make a decision. But, yeah, can you do it?
I'm not caught up in what their positions are. You know, I'm more caught up in what can you do as a playmaker? What can you do as a mismatch?
Who's a better option? Like, who is a better option? Is a running back a better option in the slot, or is a slot receiver a better option in the slot?
If it's Melvin Gordon in the slot versus KJ Hamler, give me Gordon. Yeah.
All right, but not if you want to run a seam and clear coverage. You don't take Gordon. He can't run like KJ. I mean,
but you see what I'm getting at?
I know
there's
a lot of
different potential and possibilities to move all these pieces around.
I just want to make sure that you know that I know that you know.
I do know.
Okay.
That you know what I know. I know that. Next, in four down territory.
Third down.
You know, I'm stepping in for a daughter to try to be a leader of this team. That's all I know. That's all I've been built around is strong leader qualities. And, you know, I can't let that change now that I'm somewhere different. I just ask that the guys, you know, allow me to come in and step in that role also. And these guys has definitely opened their arms so far.
There's Jarrell Casey. Mark, is it safe for me to say that Jarrell Casey, while not being quite at the DeMarcus Ware level, can be almost DeMarcus Ware light in terms of the impact made on the field and off the field? I mean, close to, maybe not identical to, but close to what DeMarcus Ware brought here. Can Jarrell Casey do that?
Oh, I think I think there's no question with his versatility, his resume, and the way you see him play, his understanding of the game, that he'll have a real impact on a lot of players, especially young players. Like, you want, what's the kid's name from Ohio State, Jones? You want that guy to become more of a complete player? Well, you're going to watch how Casey moves, how Casey defends the run, how Casey, like, you can't, unless you're just dense, Mike, you can't help but pick up from guys like that, watch guys like that and go, wow.
Right.
And then, you know, if you just ask questions, because he's one of those guys that is a wealth of knowledge, and I listened to his whole press conference yesterday as well. He'll share it. He's one of those guys that believes in sharing and growing people together, and you can just tell that he is, you know, his form of quote-unquote leadership is to produce, to play well, and to be connected to people.
Pay it forward.
Right.
Next in four down territory.
Fourth down.
I just said from day one that it was important. I'm not a physician, but it was going to be very important that on a day-to-day basis that we would listen and follow and understand and appreciate and embrace the advice from our medical experts. And that's what we're doing here.
That's Kevin Warren, the Big Ten commissioner. Big Ten, Pac-12, closing down football for the fall with the hopes of playing in the spring. We'll see what happens with the other conferences. What does this mean for the NFL, if anything?
Well, I mean, depending upon what the other conferences are doing, still, if you get three of the Big Five playing, like if you get the Big 12 playing, you get the ACC playing, and you get SEC playing, it's a college football season.
It's college football season. Yep. Yep.
And so then it would mean essentially nothing, because I don't think the NFL is going to, you know, put their foot down and
right.
try to take over college football.
At what point, though, do you leave the door open enough for the NFL to come barreling through on Saturday?
If it's just the SEC,
yeah,
then you're gonna be competing with NFL games, I believe.
Yes. But if you have the SEC, ACC, and Big 12, I think if you have the SEC and ACC.
Right. And then who, let me
then
ask
then
you
I
this.
Think that'd be enough for the NFL to stay away.
Who, and yes, I agree with you, but let me ask you this. Then who else? Like, who just says, hey man, we're a Pac-12 team, but, things are good where we're at. Utah, for instance.
Yeah, no, Nebraska's putting out all the messages right now that they are still open for football business. And
yeah, so I mean,
they're ready to bolt.
Right. How many of those schools are going to be welcome to open arms, you know, with SEC country? Shoot, the SEC will.
Oh, will they take Nebraska? They'll take anybody. Come on in.
Yeah. Can they basically split with the NCAA?
Nebraska go back to the Big 12?
No, I'm just saying, the Big 12 would have Nebraska back in a heartbeat, wouldn't
right.
they?
Sure.
The Big 12 has got 10 teams in it.
That's right. Yes. They could use some more.
They could use a few more.
All right. That'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour around the NFL. Bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. Troy Rank joins us. Got a lot to unpack with Troy. We'll do all that next. All right. Here we go. Let's welcome in. On the Fireball Hotline, our Denver 7 insider, Colorado Sportscaster of the Year, the one and only Troy Rank, presented by Tranny Law. Good morning, Troy.
Morning, guys.
Hey, Troy, did you get a sense that Philip Lindsay is motivated and a little pissed off at the organization based on yesterday's press conference?
Yeah, he finds motivation easily. He always has. As the guy who's undersized, kind of has always viewed himself as a bit of an underdog and has always had a chip on his shoulder. So certainly he is motivated. And people forget this quickly, Mark. He's the only guy in NFL history to start a career as an undrafted player with back-to-back 1,000-yard rushing seasons. So it's not like he hasn't done anything or he's just a feel-good story because he's from Colorado. I mean, he's done something no one in the history of the league's ever done. So, yeah, I mean, he's like, okay, if this is how you feel, I mean, that's Philip, though, and he's a dangerous player this way. I never doubt Philip Lindsay. And he's bigger. He's got put on 10 pounds of weight. I do believe him when he says he's going to improve as a pass catcher because he didn't have to deal with recovery of his wrist surgery as he did after his rookie season. So I'm intrigued. Consider me intrigued, and I'm one that never doubts Philip Lindsay.
Everybody understands the Philip Lindsay angle, but I'm kind of curious about how this all impacts Melvin Gordon, because Melvin Gordon just got pushed out the door by another underdog in Austin Eckler. He already knows about Philip Lindsay from going up against the Broncos twice a year the last couple of years, and I'm sure he's felt it and seen it just being around the building with Philip Lindsay. So how do you think this all impacts Gordon?
Well, based on what you just explained, he did lose his job in a lot of ways to Austin Eckler, and they end up paying Eckler, the Chargers did. I would hope, you know, as a competitor, that shows him like, hey, they did pay me, but I want to go prove, like, this is, I mean, he felt like he should have been a $10 million a year back. I would hope that he sees it more in the idea of, I'm going to show people. I can be, you know, this back that helps the team get to a winning record. And he does, his skill set is such, Mike, where he is good in short yardage. He has a knack for finding the goal line, and he's a good receiver out of the backfield. So there's things he does that they haven't done well. So it's not as if it's Philip versus Melvin Gordon. I mean, it is, but there's a way they can complement each other in their skill set. The onus would then be on Pat Shurmur to find ways to balance that, and that's not been his history in the way he's used his offense. He leans more on one back. But if I'm Gordon, I mean, I don't take it personally with Phillip. It's like I want to show the people of Denver why they paid me. And he does bring a skill set that they can use, especially in short yardage situation around the goal line. And as I said, he's averaged 50 catches a year the past 3 years. He's a really good player, so I do think there's a way for this to work, but it's going to be a balance, and it's the onus for me is going to be on Pat Shurmur to find ways to try to keep him both involved, and there's going to be weeks that's really not easy.
Before we get to baseball, I want one more question on the Broncos. Jarrell Casey spoke yesterday as well. What do they need from Jarrell Casey? How much of a linchpin is he for this defense to be a top 10 type defense and lead this football team?
Well, he's a game wrecker from the inside, and they've had good players up the middle, but, I mean, not with his resume. He's able to – you watch the film, Mark. He's able to change teams' game plans with the way he's able to get penetration and pressure. And if he's able to do that consistently, it just puts so much pressure on the offensive line of how do we got to slide over to him, and we got Chubb and Vaughn outside. Like, it just forces tough decisions. And you saw in that Ravens playoff game, I mean, he was an absolute – he wrote this diary of havoc from jump. He was the best player on the field for long stretches, playing essentially in the, you know, in the middle as a quasi-nose tackle. So how big can he be? I mean, he's that kind of guy that could take them from being a good defense to elite because he can create a turnover. He can turn, you know, a first and 10 into a second and 14 into an obvious passing situation. So, I mean, I don't think there's any way to overstate it. Plus, he's a leader. I mean, he, in many ways, for me, is this year's version of DeMarcus Ware, a guy who comes in his first season, will be counted on to be a leader both on and off the field. So I think it's a huge – his how he performs is going to determine whether the defense is good or elite in some ways. Again, part of it is they have to be able to play with a lead and have to keep games closer for this defense to be elite. But Casey has the ability to wreck games from the inside. This is just, that's a unique talent in this league.
Vizio, Troy Rank, our Denver 7 insider. Do the Rockies need to audition for a new closer after a couple of leaky outfits from Jairo Diaz?
I asked Bud Black that after the game last night on the Zoom call, and he said, hey, you know, they're going to use these relievers 25 to 30 times in a 60-game season. They're not going to be flawless. That Diaz, you know, this was his one clunker. He had acknowledged Bud's words were, we've walked a tightrope at times, which they have with traffic, with Estevez and with Diaz, and to a lesser degree with Bard. His feeling is they have the makings of a closer out there, and then they want it to be Diaz right now. But they have between Almonte, Kenley, Bard, Estevez, and Diaz, they have enough there to figure it out. So, and I don't disagree with that because there's talent there. There's guys throwing 98. There's guys with wipeout sliders. It's not a smoke and mirrors, which is what we felt with Wade Davis, that no margin for error. And unless he's perfect, he can't close. Like, they don't need to be perfect. But Diaz, I mean, you've got to keep an eye on it because it's not just last night. That I think kind of Bud took that impression that I was like, well, he had a bad outing. Who's your closer? He's been dealing with traffic consistently. And that's an issue as a closer. I mean, I would say this. This is a year as a closer where you can might be able to get through it on the road because you have no fans, and that helps you because blowing saves on the road is the worst. Getting walked off, you know, those are the just absolute punches in the gut. So they can, maybe you have a little more patience with a guy because you know he's not going to have to deal with that. But it's something we have to keep an eye on, no doubt. But through 17 games, they found a way. I would prefer if one of those two emerges, and maybe it is Bard at some point. I do know that they don't want to give him too much too soon, but his stuff for me is closer stuff. And maybe, you know, it would not shock me in September, that given the stuff I'm seeing from Bard, if he were closing.
Chuck Nasty, Charlie Blackmon, he flew out, I think, in the sixth inning last night to right field. What's wrong with Charlie? I mean, he tallied him out, Troy. I mean, so should we be concerned?
I covered Walker in 97. He had a similar stretch to open the season. I was covering Helton when he was flirting with 400. into August of 2000, where there was, you know, literally, we were doing, you know, there's national stories on can Todd Helton hit 400. That's the only time I've seen a player this hot, you know, and in terms of pitch selection, he hits with two strikes, he hits with one, no strikes, curveball, breaking ball, slider, changeup, like, there's not something you watch. You go, oh, he's got a whole bunch of fastballs, or everyone's always on in front of him, so they're forced to pitch to him. He's hitting every type of situation. And I asked Kyle Freeland about this last night, and Kyle was like, yeah, we're at the top step of the dugout watching him. Like, none of us has ever seen anything like this other than in a video game. And consider this, I just tweeted this out. Charlie Blackman's hitting 500 right now, 33 for 66. The league is hitting 235 this season. So he's hitting 265 points higher than the rest of the league. I mean, that's why it's so, if you watch games, as I do, it's all it is strikeouts, walks, home runs. Like, it's not like a bunch of guys are getting on base, and here's this guy throwing out a 500 average.
Troy, I saw a stat last night. I don't remember the exact stat, but it was something like with two strikes, a two-strike approach, the MLB, you know, Major League Baseball players are hitting like 165 or 175 or something like that. Charlie's hitting 400 with two strikes. I mean, it's ridiculous.
He puts the ball in play still, but he puts it in play with power.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like he's up there just flaring, you know, filleting balls to left and beating out bunt hits. And a bunch of infield hits, like, you know, one ball's off the wall, one ball's a home run, then there's an infield single up the middle, then there's a ball, he shoots to left. If you look at his spray chart, he's foul line to foul line, and he still has power. The one thing I'll say that I've seen differently from Charlie is by moving him to three out of the leadoff spot, he's more aggressive hitter. He's looking to ambush at times, and he's looking to just get his swing off immediately. Whereas leadoff, there are times where you want to try to take pitches, make a pitcher work, and make it, you know, grind out on a bat. It does look like, and he's hot right now, but it's freed him up hitting three-hole. Like, hey, first pitch I see I like, I'm letting it ride. And he is not missing. And he's got a, he's gonna be the first to tell you, he's got a little lucky on probably three or four hits. But for the most part, his contact, I mean, it is a laser show. It is an absolute laser show. I mean, put this guy in a planetarium. Again, it's fun to watch. Like, in the big leagues, to think a guy's not going to get out for, like, a series or a weekend at Coors, okay, I've seen that, 10 for 12, 9. I mean, this has gone on for 17 games. And remember, he started the season 0 for 9.
Yeah, yep.
I mean, it is just remarkable.
All right, Troy, great stuff as always. We'll talk to you again Friday.
Yep.
Troy Rank, our Denver 7 insider, presented by Tranny Law. Troy and all of our guests appearing on the Fireball Hotline. A reminder that Training Camp 2020 Locked and Loaded T-shirts are free. Limited edition.
Man, you got to feel this shirt.
You really do.
Yeah.
You really do have to feel this shirt.
It's soft as your back after a waxing.
Yes, it is.
That's what I thought.
It is like chamois.
Same color, too.
It's like
bright orange.
it's chamois soft. It really is.
I gotta interrupt you just for a second. Right. Because
then I'll do the rest of the read.
Yeah, and then you can do the rest of the read. I just want to say that I am so impressed. Because we know that you have occasionally some anger issues and you will snap a time or two. And I saw your face get a little red when Troy Rank said Charlie Blackman and the laser show in the same. And I know you're a big Boston guy and it, like, you were ready to jump down his throat.
I was like, there's only one laser show.
Yeah, there's only one laser show.
It's Pedroia.
It's not Charlie Blackman.
It's Dustin Pedroia. But since Pedroia's done, he can bequeath the laser show tag to somebody else. And I think Charlie Blackman would wear that label proudly. So I'm okay with it. I'm not mad.
Yeah.
I'm not going to jump down Troy's throat like I may have gotten a little bit annoyed with that police officer down in Miami.
We just freaking did that.
No.
He said it the wrong way.
It wasn't like that.
Yeah.
It wasn't like that. The huff is, as always, exactly.
Child, please. I'm pretty sure it was worse than that.
No, not at all.
Mm-hmm.
For the Locked and Loaded T-shirts, just stay in your car. We'll be having contactless T-shirt toss giveaways right into your vehicle. So head to 1043thefan.com
/shirt to find the Brakes Plus location closest to you. Our first giveaway is tomorrow. So we look forward
taking the shirt off
to that. This is KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.